everyone, and welcome to the Twist My Arm podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm your forever friend and host. Of course, here at TMA, it is my goal to twist your arm into checking out something new, and I aim to be your source for recommendations. If you're looking for new music, movies, TV shows, restaurants, everything in between, this is the podcast to listen to. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search Twist My Arm Podcast or click the link in the show notes. This week, I am twisting your arm into something a little bit new. I'm going away from what I normally do. It's away from my normal kind of guest routine. I'm bringing on a good friend of mine. His name is Brian Zimmer. We are talking about contractors. I'm a terrible, this is why I don't own a home, because I can't do anything at home on my own. I can barely fix a screen door or anything. So I always have to call my friend here to come do the little jobs. And I was like, hey, would you ever want to come on and talk about your business at some point? And kind of give people a good idea of when to find the person you need to fix things in your house and how to do it. It might not be everyone's cup of tea, of course. Like I said, it's straying away from the norm. But we did have a really good conversation, not just about contracting and that stuff. We do talk about a lot of other things. So I did have a really great time with this interview, asking these different questions and kind of learning a lot about this trade and what goes into it. So without much more ado, I would like to get this episode started. Any links or anything that you hear in this episode are going to be in the show notes, so definitely make sure to check those things out. Once again, I have Brian Zimmer here with my guy. Enjoy. Yeah. So basically, to put this into like layman's terms before the listener's eyes roll back, I don't mean that in like a bad way, but like you're doing all of the nitty gritty little tiny bits of work that people don't want to do, correct?
Correct. It's not that they don't want to do it. It's that it is a skilled trade. Yeah. Like, you need to know what you're doing to do it right. And if you want it done right, property damage from a leaking shower or whatnot, just ruin your house. But so, the nitty gritty stuff, the different trades, typically when you go with like a general contractor, like a bigger guy, every different part of the task is a different guy. So you've got the concrete guy, you've got the plumber, you've got the electrician, you've got the HVAC, like the air ducts guy, then the drywaller, the framer. This is 30, 40 different crews. So something like my company offers is I'm a one guy, does it all things. Yeah, so we kind of go through, everything's to code and per everything. It's just it takes a little bit longer, and I'd argue almost not, because you got that all that time scheduling
together. You're scheduling it. 10 That's different so people many, with a big company.
Exactly. Whereas, and then you end up having 30 or 40 people walking through your house. Yeah. Like, you'll show up, come home from lunch at work or whatever, because it has to occur during the day.
And you never know when, like, Breaking Bad is going to happen, and you have some dude that's, like, working for a contractor that's cooking meth in your basement.
That's pretty extreme, but there are some pretty scummy individuals that live in the world.
Yeah. And, no, absolutely.
You know, there's a reason some guys are like, people are more afraid of them, and they get that bad rap. But it's all about trusting the people that you're bringing to your house. When you meet with your contractor, they should really inspire confidence that I've got the right guy.
Like,
this is my guy.
And so, I mean, obviously you're here talking about your business and you're doing stuff, and thank you for coming and hanging out in my crammed studio. You're one of the very few people that has had the privilege of sitting in the actual studio in front of a microphone and doing this interview. Most people do it on the internet, which is great. I love doing these in-person things. I feel like it's a lot more fun, a little more intimate, I guess, in a non-sexual way.
Correct.
but you were saying, like, people got to have the skills and they got to have the knowledge of things. You never like went to any school or anything, right?
No. Out of high school, I really thought I was going to be an automotive mechanic. I was kind of on that
ship. Oh yeah, you were like building cars and stuff.
It's still a passion.
You were like the quintessential like dude with all the cars in his front yard.
Not much changed on that side. Got too many right now as it stands. Yeah, no, but then I had a deep conversation with my uncle, and I told him, I was like, this is what I want to do. I'm going to be a mechanic like he is up north. And he was like, do you love it? And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's fun. I enjoy it. And that's why it's still a passion for me. He's like, then don't make it your job. Find something else. Like, keep it a passion. Because when you make it your job, it's going to be your job. You're not going to do it for yourself anymore. And I took that to heart. And I kind of went into the trades then. I floated around, did a lot of learning at a lot of different establishments. Found a pretty good calling as a framer, actually, at SCS. I enjoyed that more than I probably should have. and then kind of, you know, I'd always been, my dad had 3 rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of were always working on stuff ourselves, like my whole life.
So you were always around, like, fixing stuff and kind of remodeling and doing the whole thing. Because, like, for me, I've always been around sound equipment and studio stuff and recording and live music and all that stuff. Like, so of course I'm in something like this. This is my passion. You know what I mean? Doing podcasting and stuff. And it's always interesting to see where people come from. Like, I could go on a whole story about my dad's studio back in the day and first time I ever recorded in a studio, you know, but for you and doing your stuff, there's gotta be something that like kind of started your passion. We were talking about Legos earlier, and like, I am not patient enough for Legos, but you build a lot of Legos. Is that something you did as a kid and maybe had a little bit of?
Yeah, we had a lot of different sets like that. We did like the Legos. We had some robotic sets that came with like a little plug-in motor and turning cogs and the Tinker Toys and the Kinects. And I did a lot of that Erector set stuff, like built homemade rockets. But yeah. I guess until video games, that was probably the bulk of stuff we actually played with. We always pretended we were Power Rangers in the backyard with basketballs as the enemies. So we had like 30 of them. Be out there kicking basketballs around the yard. Take that, putty men.
So you were always kind of a mechanical person, or someone that did things with their hands.
Yeah.
Always kind of was building stuff.
One of the things that I think has helped me progress in my trades and just my overwhelming knowledge on across the board on a lot of different mechanical facets. And it's just like, I always want to know why. How does that work? You know, like, why is that built that direction? And it's really helped me because when I ask that question, I now need to know the answer. Mm-hmm. So I look into it more. Why is that built that way? And I pay attention to how things are done. And it's helped me progress through a lot of vehicle maintenance, obviously my career, my business. I've definitely found that it was an acquired thing. Like, even people that do it now professionally, they don't reach the same caliber as somebody who's really driven by it being done well and being proud of what they've accomplished versus, like, I can get how much money for doing this and just slamming some stuff out. I've actually come behind a couple of other contractors recently that are just like, man, that was a questionable decision. Who trained you how to do that?
All you contractors are the same. You all say the same thing.
Oh, you're not wrong about that. Everybody says they're better than the last guy, but I mean, toes to the ground.
But
you
gotta be confident. Right? You gotta be confident in yourself that you are better than the last guy and that you are gonna do a better job.
And that goes back to like the contractor you speak with should instill confidence that this is the guy you need. He can get the job done. It is what I am after.
Right. I always wanted, like, see, this is why I didn't get into that stuff, because I like how things are built, but I'm so impatient. That's why I never did Legos, because I just can't build things. Have you ever thought about just building yourself a house?
It's definitely the dream. Our goal is to buy land with maybe a suitable property on it and to build our own outside of it. It's actually the major reason we are back in Nebraska. It's just the cost of land is so much more reasonable, although still getting kind of out of hand.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
And you're originally from Nebraska, right?
Yeah, Fremont, Nebraska is my hometown.
Good old Fremont, Nebraska.
Was a recognized name there for a good long while.
Yeah. People knew me.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was cool in high school. That's what counted.
Hopefully people know you now for a different way than, because look, we all have our mistakes. We all have our problems.
Oh, yeah.
We all did our
I'm getting back out there. I'm getting around town. I've been talking more. The big thing is about people being able to find you, you know, and know you exist and that what you're doing. And so I've been working with the Signature Cabinet Studio in Fremont, Nebraska. That crew is wonderful. Some great ladies. They got me kicked off doing kitchens for them the other day, and I went to, what do you call it, build a whole new one in one of their rental properties the other day. And they actually chose a very classy, regal blue that I think it was actually called Azure Blue. I'm not great with names. Colors are colors. It's blue.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got to build a beautiful one in there. So,
do you ever have, like, see, because if I did this job, I always think of, like, people would give me what their vision is and what they want, and I would probably hate it all the time.
So that's the big thing, is you got to be proud of what you did. Like, in my line of work, I don't get to do all of the parts.
Yeah. Some I'm of too them controlling, I guess.
Yeah. you want to be in control of what the whole thing looks
like. Yeah.
And it's nice to have that kind of control and do that sort of thing, but in the sense of what people are looking for, especially when you're working with another company, you do your part, somebody else does their part.
Yeah.
So in this blue kitchen that I just installed, which I was posting the other day, like, I only installed the cabinetries. So,
okay. So you weren't doing, okay. You were just there to do just a little bit of grunt work.
I did the cabinets. I'm actually going to do the baseboards next week.
Nice.
But so the walls weren't painted yet. They had drywall patches and they were going to paint after cabinetry.
Right.
Questionable decision, in my opinion, but, jokes aside,
have you ever, like, God, have you ever been in the middle of, have you ever had any serious injuries, is what I'm trying to get at, when doing this?
Me personally, no. That risk is always there.
Because I've seen some videos of some accidents with, like, just individual contractors that really,
accidents
really
happen
fuck up.
And some things happen because you're stupid and you make bad decisions. Some things happen because somebody else was stupid and they made bad decisions, and now you get to pay for that. It just is what it is. I personally have never had any major injuries.
Have you ever witnessed one?
I watched a guy put his hand into a table saw twice. I've seen...
By into a table saw, do you mean his hand was sawed in
no half? He nicked a finger with the blade.
That's
the most common injury. You nick a,
of course
nick
of course.
Yourself with it. If you're dumb and you're going at it, you can take a finger clean off, but typically you're not going to get hand saw. It's not a fun thing to think about, honestly, because it is always a risk. I've seen a guy, dude, he set a trowel on a bucket, and he reached down to grab a cloth, and the trowel slid him up the arm so bad we had to go to the ER.
That's like shit in, like, the Saw movies, like those torture movies. It's always the hand saw or, like, the table saw that gets me. What was I watching the other day? I was watching some, oh, my God. Oh, Thanksgiving. It's like a ridiculous horror movie.
Thanksgiving or whatever.
No, it's literally called Thanksgiving.
I just was told about one the other day where a turkey is now the actual killer, and I'm like,
gobble gobble.
That might be so bad it's good.
No, and this movie was, it was very, like, at first you start the movie and you're like, oh, this is gonna be like a slasher flick, like, it's probably gonna be pretty gory, it's gonna be maybe a little serious, whatever, and it's just instantly not at all. It's the most ridiculous. It's like a Scream movie mixed with, like, Scary Movie. You know what I mean? Like a kind of a parody of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain, like, table saw scene in that where it's just bad, man. And I don't want to get into any gory detail, but, like, anytime I see someone working at a house or doing some sort of work like that, I just imagine the worst. And that's why, I don't know, I get scared. I get so scared of it.
Even
I'm a big
back,
pansy.
Even back in high school, like, working at Jimmy John's, with meat slicer equipment. Like, I mean, people caught their fingers on those things. Mm. They're razor sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been saying since I started dealing with equipment like that, it needs to come with a bumper sticker that this requires fear and respect to operate this piece of equipment. Because that's the big thing. You got to fear and respect the equipment because it'll
destroy
mess you
the
up.
World.
But you got to use it, so can't be afraid of it.
Yeah,
just watch where your fingers are.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the big thing. It's always your hands.
Oh man, that shit just scares me. Like my dad was always, he's a very hands-on kind of guy, and he'd always have a table saw, and like I would always be like 10 feet away from it. Because I couldn't get close to it. And then, of course, in shop class, we had to use a table saw, and so I had to overcome some fears. But, man, I remember a kid getting his finger a little bit, and blood just, like, squirts. It's like a, you know what I'm saying? Like, just pss, pss, pss. It's crazy.
So one of the big things that kicked off my passion for just building and stuff is in high school, actually.
Someone
you're talking about
cut
high
their
school
hand
classes.
Off.
No.
I could do better
so
than that.
So I, you know, was a typical guy in high school trying to chase girls around. So I would take classes to, like, be near the girls that I wanted to hang out with, right? So I actually took, this Drama 1 class? Like, I actually was going to be, like, a thespian. Like, that's not me. That's not who I was trying to be. But I was all like, yeah, chasing the girls that were trying to be thespians.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher for that class recognized right away. She's like, you don't want to be an actor. No. So you know how to build stuff. I'm like, yep. She's like, great, you'll get a perfect score in this course if you build my sets for the different plays for the years and operate as like a construction manager.
Oh my god,
during your class periods here, and then you can take Drama 1 and Drama 2 and Drama 3 and stagecraft. And she's like, and you can just hang out in here and get to build stuff every day. And I'm like, let's go. And
dude,
so,
that's what a brilliant teacher, because she knew exactly what you were doing.
Oh yeah, she did. She got it. She's like, I know why you came to my class. She's like, I can see your skill set though. Here, you don't have to do all that. Here's my to-do list. You go organize the wood room, build this set.
I never knew that.
It was a great time for
me,
honestly.
So did you take drama throughout all of high school?
I didn't get into it.
Just the 1 year that girl was in it.
No, I took it for the rest of the time I was in high school when I found it. I believe I was a junior, and I took like...
No, like I never went to high school. Like I was enrolled.
I remember.
But I never went.
Tried to pick you up in the morning. Be banging on your window. Josh, come on. You're going to make me late for school. Let's go. I'm not going.
Just go.
Dude, if you do this to me again, I'm going to stop coming.
All right. Yeah. So I never went to school. So I never did the things for school. I never went to like the plays or anything like that. But were your sets, did you build like the actual?
Yeah, the like, structures that they would use.
What were the... What was the play, like the most fun play or musical that you built things for, and what did you build?
I was involved in the competition 1X from one of the years we were at. It was a production called Steel Pier. It was a lot of fun, and I was supposed to be in it.
You were supposed to like act in it?
Yes.
What were you?
Some side character. It was about a 24-hour dance marathon.
I am a tree.
Like. Yeah. No, it was you and another person were coupled together, and you were a dance team in like a tango, 24-hour tango thing. And so we had to learn how to do like the waltz and the foxtrot and those different like classic dances, because it was like set in the 1940s.
Yeah, it looks like it's a pretty big musical.
Oh yeah, it was.
Steel Pier won some Tony Awards in 1997.
A production of it, maybe.
Yeah, a production. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It's a pretty good one, but so it was like ballroom dancing. But we found out that because of my troublesome times at high school, where my attendance wasn't the best and whatnot,
my bad.
That I was disqualified from competing at the state level. So I had to relinquish my spot, and then I got to be a stage manager for it. So That was
so
fun.
Did you, and I'm sure you still built some of the sets.
Oh, I built like a lot of it. We did a steel Ferris wheel that had lights and stuff in it that was all welded together. It was fun to be allowed to the different like workshops in the high school at that time to be able to go like to the welding shop for that week and start help building that.
It's fun to imagine you like in an all black like suit, all black like black suit,
you know,
that you're running across the stage like pushing trees out of the way and like moving big Ferris wheels in. And
I mean, it was something like that. I don't know if I was in an all black suit. I mean, we were in high school. It wasn't a professional production.
What would you call those? Are those leotards?
Yeah, I believe they wear all black leotards. Okay. Or I think they're called skin suits now skin or something suits, like that.
I just call them green man suits. But
there you go.
But I can't say black man suits because it sounds bad. But green man suit. That's black.
Right.
Yeah, it's fun to imagine that. I never knew that, though. That's really cool. Do they still have any of those set pieces? Like, do they ever keep them for the high school or anything?
Wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of contact with what goes on inside that building since I left it.
That makes sense. It has been a long time.
Yeah.
But super cool. And so you're an actor, then. What other things have you acted in?
That was it. I'm not an actor. I was a stage crafter. That's what I did. And then she just got me to be in the competition one act. So that way I could, I guess, be there after school as well. And
but
then
you
go with them.
But you were a bit of a musician.
I dabbled.
What'd you do?
I was a bassist.
Ooh.
I wanted to be a drummer because you were so good at it.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I'm flattered.
That, and I would love to have had that coordination, but I could never keep, I could keep the beat up top right, but not with the feet. Or I could do the feet, but not up top. And I couldn't put the two together. So
I feel like that's, it takes a long time. But,
yeah.
I
dabbled with the guitar. My fingers are too big for those delicate strings.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I fell into the bass, that
I
had
like
the widespread.
Nowadays.
You know,
the plaid, the big beard, the fucking work boots. Like, you look like a bassist for sure.
Yeah, but I'm a blue collar guy.
Have you thought about going back into music and playing?
I will say playing that Ragnarok VR drumming game got me pretty freaking excited about music again.
I talked about that on my Quick Twist with Sam Morris from the Midnight Devils.
Yeah.
Quick Twist. If anyone wants to check that out, go check out that episode. It was like the fourth episode we did or something like that. But Ragnarok is an excellent game. It's all your fault that I have a VR.
I warned you about that when I came here, that I felt more like a salesman for the dang things, because everywhere I go, everywhere I take mine, like, they want to buy it immediately after we get there.
And we did, but it was all right because it's been fun. It's
how much do you use it now?
Not as much as I'd like.
Exactly.
I have started to kind of try and pick it up at least once a day and play one song.
Kelly likes to use it as her workout.
I was just going to say, like, it's a little bit of cardio. So I'll do a Beat Saber song and I'll do a Ragnarok song. And this last week I was sick, so I didn't really do it as much. But, like, yeah, it's kind of a way that I exercise. It's hard for me because I just feel like I can't be in it that much. I get a little dizzy sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Breaks
should be frequent and often.
Yeah, and I'm the kind of gamer that likes to sit down and just play. You know what I mean? I like to just play for hours. And I couldn't do that. I tried to do it with the Star Wars game. The, like, Vader Immortal or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I played it for, like, maybe an hour. And when I took the mask off or took the headset off, I, like, had to sit down for a little while. So.
Ready Player One.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of where we're headed. And
we saw some really cool Ready Player One dioramas, like, done in Legos at that Brick Fest.
Oh, yeah, there was a Lego Brick Fest this last weekend of this recording, which would have been the weekend of March 23rd, Lego Brick Fest. We did not get to go, but you said that it was pretty cool. They had a ton of, like, everything was pre-built, and then there was a couple other, like, sections where kids could build stuff, and
there were a couple of vendors, and then there were just a lot of displays of the creations that some of the builders had made, very unique stuff. You know, nobody goes to display at a convention the things you build out of the box. They're the things that you make yourselves. And
right,
you
so know, they're all like, someone dreamed this thing up. And
yeah, well, they're based on various pop culture references and sort of a creative world and a lot of trains, a lot of military, you know, structures, a lot of everything really. But so, yeah, there were a lot of displays of that. There was some take your kids, we have all these Legos on a table thing, build stuff. They had one for like slot cars where you'd build like two cars. They'd have a guy on a ramp that released them both at the same time and you'd see who'd win.
Is it a traveling thing?
It sounds like it because they gave me a flyer for one coming up in Lincoln at the Sand Hills Auditorium, which what I'm understand, I'm a little bit detached from what like has changed in Nebraska since I moved away.
Right.
I guess it's the old Lincoln Fairgrounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, looking at their website, it looks like they do just kind of travel the country.
Yeah, they had some very interesting pieces. Me and Kelly really enjoyed it.
Yeah, little derby races, and that's really cool. I'll have the link in the show notes. Check out the brickfestlive.com if you guys want to check them out. Looks like they're going all over the place. Michigan, Louisiana, Texas, New Jersey, yeah, all over, so... Huh, really cool. We're going to have to check that out next time it comes around. I'm sure it'll be back around eventually.
I will say this. I took more pictures today than I do normally of anything by a massive quantity.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like it's coming back to the Mid-America Center July 13th and 14th of this year. So I guarantee this episode will air before that date. So if anyone's interested, go to the brickfestlive.com and get some tickets. There you go, Brickfest. I'm promoting you for free.
No free shout-outs. Is that a shout-out to the boys?
Was it a shout-out? Which boys?
Huh? Busting with the boys.
I don't know what's going on anymore. Where are we? What's happening?
You live in Nebraska. You don't know who Will Compton is? He's the boy, man. He's the boy.
He's the boy.
Follow some Barstool Sports, man.
Yeah.
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 You're 10.
Yeah. So back to you. And your business. What is your business even called? What is it?
Mine is My Guy Home Improvement Services.
My guy. That's funny. What was the inspiration for that name?
So my nephew would say that to me all the time. And another man I admire had his business being Just the Guy. And I thought his slogan was pretty witty. He's like, I know Just the Guy. He's a general contractor. He said that. That's pretty good. And my nephew, he would always be on Discord or whatnot talking over there. You go, my guy.
What you doing, my guy?
Exactly. Yeah. And you think about like what you say to somebody like when they ask you, like, hey, somebody kicked in my front door last night. Like, how do I get that fixed?
Let me call my guy.
Let me call my guy. Oh, man, I really don't like the way my like bathroom looks. Like, well, let me call my guy.
Huh. That's brilliant. You could make some fun commercials out of that.
I could. I'd have to be more focused on the media side of things. I'm a little bit lacking on that side.
Hit me up, bro.
Fall into the work, really.
You be my guy, I'll be your guy.
Yeah. Hey, now you got a guy.
That's hilarious. No, I can see it now. You just have... Like those cheesy late night. There's some fun ones on the
Facebook page. Like when I was forming my business, I put out a lot of my pictures of products we put out in Colorado Springs.
Uh-huh.
And I actually gave it probably way too much effort naming and like doing all my little witty like social media posts, you know, comments on those. Yeah. So
have you started up a TikTok yet?
No.
You should.
Because,
dude, it's fun. Like I will catch myself getting on TikTok and watching someone work, do contracting work because it's interesting, like to see how they do it and all the dude is doing. Like my friend, I think it's Dr. Proctor on TikTok is I believe his name, but he does that shit where he just sets his camera in the corner and you'll see he's a painter and you'll see him like he'll kind of explain what he's doing with the room and then just do it and just talk to people. Like, as he's on there, like, people will come and ask him questions and whatever, and they'll just talk shit about, you know, whatever he's doing in life, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun, though. He's gotten a lot of good, like, a good following from that. And it's, I mean, get a TikTok, man. I would watch your shit, because, first of all, you're funny.
Looking maybe, and at like, least.
And I can only imagine, like, if people are sitting there watching you do stuff and you start actually having conversations with people, because the internet's wild.
Yeah.
And it can get pretty crazy. So if you want any help with that, hit me up.
The split focus might be rough on me there. I typically work away from my phone.
Like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is probably a good thing in the line of work that you're in.
Well, most of the time both hands are busy, and it gets kind of loud, gets kind of noisy. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
I was thinking, though, like when I'm doing my finish work on the kitchen would probably be a good time for that. Cause then
before and after videos and stuff.
Yeah. The demo, everybody always is curious about the demo.
Yeah.
It's a lot more surgical than you see on home garden television.
Of course.
Like if your guy
you don't
walks
just go in there
in,
with a hammer.
Yeah, if your guy walks in with a sledgehammer, somebody's doing it wrong. Unless they're up to break up concrete, like nobody in your house should have the sledgehammer. It's probably not a good idea.
I'm here to fuck shit up.
Yeah. The joke is like how to ruin someone's house in one day, and just the demo work that goes into it. You'd like strip a room completely down to studs and subfloor. It's like, well, I just tore out a part of this house.
Yeah.
And I hope you get it done right, actually, after that.
That's still interesting to me, though, because all of us, the people that don't do that kind of work, we do imagine demo work as, like, you just walking in there with a hard hat and a sledgehammer going, all right! But the surgical thing that you're talking about is a lot more interesting, because you probably have to, like, line up what you're doing and use more than just hammers and make sure that you're not destroying the structure of the place.
Yeah, there's cutting too deep, there's utilities in all the walls, you know. Not every single place you go, obviously you're gonna hit some dead spots, but if you see an outlet near there, you can assume that there's probably a wire,
right?
You know, everywhere you go there's gonna be some danger to what it is, and you need to be precise with the things that you're doing. Like, why impact more than you need to,
right?
And one of the big things people forget, when you hammer on this side of the wall, it affects the other side of the wall. Don't hang your fine china while you're trying to, I don't know, hang a shelf on this side.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I'll just hammer in this one nail. Yeah. Yeah. Why does it sound like glass breaking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, your plates are falling off the wall next door.
No, that's why we have people like you that are skilled enough to do that surgical procedure on the demo work and make sure that you're doing the correct thing for the customer. And
what I've encountered a lot, especially in this area, is that some years ago, a lot of people felt just confident enough to do some harm. they went to the local hardware store, they got whatever they could out of the plumbing aisle, and they rigged together stuff without being able to cut it or utilize it, and it's just, it worked for a while, and now the new owners of those properties are paying for that because it's coming to fruition that it was done wrong all along. Mm. I've ran into a lot of clogged drains, things that are going uphill, sure, been leaking forever. That does damage to your home and your health. I mean, breathing that stuff in isn't good for you. So, like, you should know what you're doing. Like, there are a lot of YouTube warriors out there, and there are people that are capable of following instructions, but really knowing the nuances of why something is done the way it's supposed to be really helps avoid problems in the future. I actually helped a gal out this winter whose main sewage line was hung too low and draining uphill. Ooh. It got negative 40 out here in Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the drains in her house stopped working because the main stack was frozen over 8 feet.
Oh,
8 feet.
Dang. And those are things that no one ever thinks about.
And all of a sudden, she came from work and no water would leave any receptacle. Oh, so immediately, her sink was full.
Yeah.
And the toilet won't flush.
Right.
We
had that here in our house just about a month ago. Our basement started flooding because there was a tree root growing into.
And that's a very common thing in the area too, especially with the old infrastructure and older parts of the town. The main sewage lines were done with stacked clay pipe. They're 4 foot sections. They just hinge together and there's almost no sealant. But they're buried deep enough in the ground that they expected that to not be a problem. Well, tree roots and nature will find a way.
Yeah. As the great Jeff Goldblum said. Yeah, and that's whenever that happened to us, I was like, holy shit, like, that happens? I didn't realize that that's a thing that happens.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, having the people that know that happens and know how to fix it, like yourself, it's a good skill to have. And that's, you know, that's why you're here, because I like to promote the little guys and like get people in there. And I know that I have a good amount of listeners from Nebraska, that could probably use that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It generally astonishes me how people like view the contracting. I thought it was a more normal thing, but a lot of people are misinformed on the experience and kind of how it goes. And I know that I've gotten a lot of feedback on just...
What do you mean by misinformed by how it goes?
They just don't know how to contact them, how the process generally goes, where, you know, you reach out to a contractor because you need something done. You're unhappy with a part of your home. Either it's a problem because it's not bringing you joy or because something bad's really happening with it. So you call a contractor and you don't know what to expect from them. Well, what you should expect is that within, maybe not immediately, because you've got to expect that they're doing work right now, but they get back to you and they want to schedule a time to meet. They want to come to your, see what you're talking about, because you can only be so accurate, you know. And if you don't know how to fix what you're fixing, how are you going to properly explain it to somebody who's going to give you a price to fix it?
Right.
So they generally want to schedule a meeting. Typically, those estimates are free, you know, and the guy will meet with you on any given day. What the biggest drawback is you need to tell us when it's going to work for you, or give us a range of time when it's going to work for you, because we'll find a way to make it work. It's just, that's the more important thing. So we'll let you know, hey, I can find time next week sometime or after this date. Right. And then you just kind of like, what about Friday at 3 p.m.? Okay, we can figure that out. Like, that'll work.
Yeah, is it more that people are just scared to do that?
Maybe. I mean, having other people in your home is always a thing, especially strangers. I know a lot of people have pets.
Yeah.
But if you really want any real, actual value of the, like, cost of the project, you want to know, the guy's going to need to come see it. It's unfortunately part of it. A lot of people feel judged. They don't. Because like we're there to fix broken stuff,
and I'm sure everyone's on their guard too, because everyone these days is worried they're gonna get ripped off.
That's true. I mean,
like, do you run into a lot of issues where you're telling someone what needs to be done and they're like, nah, no way?
Some people have ideas about what they should keep and what they should go throw away. Everybody's got a budget that's reasonable for them, and you're going to have to make certain sacrifices in that budget. You know, we ran into one the other day. They didn't want to replace the tub. They just wanted to replace the wall kit. That's not necessarily advised, because the issue we run into in that situation is that the tub was originally installed 3/4 out of level. And when you buy a pre-manufactured kit, you don't get a really fudge the way it's set. Sure. So
you got to replace the whole thing.
You should. It'll lead to a much better product, a cleaner install. You'll be happier with what you do get, and the guy will be happier doing it.
So it's not always that. I mean, for me personally, like when I'm looking at, especially like with cars and stuff, when you're going to have someone look at the problem, you're always worried that like, oh, this guy's just trying to upcharge me because he's going to make more money.
There is an amount of upcharging. It costs money to do business. I have a chart of monthly expenses that cost me, like, you know, what they do.
I mean, you got to live too.
Exactly. So
would you say that you are a little bit more reasonable when it comes to some of that stuff?
Some of the pricing? I definitely am not going to try to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. I give them plenty of options. I'm not trying to, like, tell you something that you don't need to do. But when you need to replace that outlet because it started on fire in the wall, that's going to require us to take a mounted drywall
some
out.
Other stuff.
You know, like there's the steps of the process, and those should be clearly explained to you. When your contractor, you know, brings you confidence, it's because that you know that they properly explained to you the steps you could follow. You know, because like when I tell you that your outlet started on fire and you're like, cool, replace the outlet. Like, well, it started on fire because of the wire in the wall. And then you're like, okay, you know, well, that means I'm going to have to cut the drywall. That makes sense. You're like, I'm not going to be able to fix the wire in the wall if I can't see it. So that, you know,
So you're dumbing it down for us dummies, right?
You try to.
No, you do. I've called you a couple times to come to my house and like look at some shit.
I have.
And you're really nice about it. Even though I've known you for so long and you have full permission to be a dick about it, you're always really nice about it.
I mean, different skills.
Yeah, no.
You know, everybody has them. Like, you with your social media and just, like, your...
Sure.
Like overwhelming, like, social skills. Like, that's something I envy. I'm not very good at all that kind of stuff, you know?
I mean, it's a thing.
The whole audio thing, I mean, you're a much better musician. I, hands down, give you the much better musician.
We're not here to talk about me, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's got their different skill sets and,
yeah. You know. How would you twist someone's arm into my guy?
The same sales pitch I was going earlier. When you hire a bigger general contractor, you're signing up for 30 or 40 different guys, you know, like depending on the size of your project, maybe it's only 10, maybe sure. It's only 5, not to exaggerate that out of control, but that's 5 different guys that you probably don't know that you're never going to meet. When you work with my guy, I'm your guy.
Yeah.
We develop a relationship. We typically don't, because I cover such a wide range of skills from, we did whole house remodels. I built them from the ground up. We call it such a wide range of skills. Like until we reach a like requires a professional level, like kind of thing, or right. Like a
licensed,
like a certified
stuff.
Electrician. I mean, we're not running new like mains off the city or going into your breaker thing, but like if you want to do like your kitchen or your bathroom or something like that, you get one guy for all of those different tasks, and that's better in my opinion than 30 or 40 people coming in your house. And like the trust that you can establish there, like right. There's nothing in a person's home that's worth your reputation.
And I feel like the more people that are there, the more it's like hands in the kitchen.
It
more
is.
Hands in the kitchen. The
There's more room for error. A lot of people like to play the blame game. They're like, right. Well, I only did this because so-and-so did that.
Right.
Or like, he didn't finish it right. So this the right. Way this looks is not my fault. I just right. Came here to paint. And I had nothing to do with the guy that hung drywall.
Right. Whereas with you, it's just like, if you need to take accountability, you are the one that has to take accountability.
It might take a little bit longer to care for all of the steps,
right.
And it might look a little bit bigger on a page, but ultimately, yeah, you have one guy that cares immensely that is responsible for the
right.
Entire project.
I think that's probably what separates you from most other people that I know that do this stuff, because a lot of people work for like a company, and you know they have their one job that they do. They're a flooring guy, and they just go lay tile or whatever it is.
And a lot of the problem I've seen, especially coming behind some of those guys to do like skilled trades behind them, is they care enough to get paid. The job got done. How well did the job get done?
Right.
And I'm not to talk any amount of trash on any of the other trades, but like you said, everybody's like, I'm better than the other guy.
Yeah.
I pride myself on visibly being better than the other guy. You know, like I'll do a side-by-side comparison with almost anybody.
Yeah.
And the people that trained me were 40-year, fourth-generation carpenters that, you know, they would execute me for not putting out the highest level of finish.
Right. And that's good. I mean, that's like we talked about earlier. You never, like, went to school or anything. And sometimes that can be hard for people to get past, especially in a place like Nebraska where everyone is very... I would say a little more uptight, you know, a little less, you know, liberal about kind of stuff like that, where, you know, they want someone that has gone to school and has that background. But personally, like, I actually was talking about it at my job the other day. Someone said that they would never hire a high school dropout. And I was like, that's interesting, because when I did hiring in Colorado, if someone was a high school dropout, but they still got their GED, I would consider that a little bit higher up on my scale, because that person did the work to actually earn that thing. I know that going through high school is a lot of work and you have to earn it, blah, blah, blah. But when you drop out and you quit out of high school to turn around and go back to make sure that you get that education, for me, I was like, that takes a lot of dedication. You know, it takes, especially when you're 17, 18 years old, like that to me says that you have a little bit more of a drive than someone that just got skated by in high school. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And
I
so
agree.
With you, like, I, you know, not having the background, but knowing how much you have worked on things and how much you have learned over time and, like, become a consummate professional, that is a huge thing for me, because I know that it's going to be done right, because I know that you have actually put in that work and taken the time to learn how to do all that stuff.
And not everybody, you know, is like that, but...
It's a very... I know, like, I got, you know... It turned into a little bit of a debate when it came to the GED dropout conversation, but, and I know I'm on a different level because I am a high school dropout that got his GED.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I just, there's a level of drive and determination there that's a lot more admirable than someone that just went to a trade school to get the piece of paper. They could have had straight D's and C's the whole time and not very good grades and didn't have very good quality work, but still were able to pass and get that paperwork. You know what I mean? So a lot of times just having the diploma or whatever it is, isn't the best.
You can learn a lot of things from books. And some people get by really well by doing that. There's a whole other group of us that we had to learn by putting our hands to it.
Yep. Hands on.
You kind of get it. And one of the big things that's, like, hurting the trades was some of the older guys being able to pass on their knowledge, being able to tolerate some of the newer generation of trade guys that are coming in that they couldn't work with them, couldn't pass on those skills, the little nuances that made them better at the craft, in my opinion, than a lot of these guys. There's definitely a major difference between a production guy who just wants to get as much out as fast as possible and a guy who just really wants to do quality things, that wants to be proud of what they accomplish.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons where I get back to, like, your contractor should inspire confidence. You should be like, this guy wants to make it what I think it should. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Tell me, like, what's one thing that you wish you would have known before you started really getting into doing this line of work? Because, yeah, obviously you've worked on things before and done things by yourself, but actually getting into this as a career,
mm-hmm.
and from being in Colorado Springs and doing that out there to now, like, what's one thing that you wish you would have known when you first started doing this?
One thing I would have known, the biggest lesson for me was how much my time was actually worth. And people everybody has a wild variation and probably almost depreciated amount of what they feel their time is actually worth when you put it down to a dollar figure. And, you know, I grew up in rural Nebraska. We did things for a hot meal, yeah. you know, or yeah. a case of
beer.
Did
things for a favor,
back.
Just for a friend.
You know, I always told the guys I worked with in Colorado Springs, I was like, I could never do this in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody would call their brother, cousin, aunt, uncle, dad, father-in-law or something.
Called their guy.
They'd come over on the weekend and, you know, they'd do that. Well, a lot of those guys that knew how to do that are getting past the point that they should be doing some stuff like that. Or, you know, God forbid, I'm just starting around to do it for them anymore. And there's a lot of people moving in and stuff like that that they just need that guy when they, like, you know, mess some stuff up. They're just like, man, I really need help with, like, this little thing and that little thing and that mm-hmm. little thing. And it's like, well, you know, you don't have a guy, I'm your guy. Like, call my guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah.
And so, like, what I really try to tell people about, like, calling us for, like, say, well, I refer to them as honeydews. And it's like, honeydew this, honeydew that,
yeah,
honeydew this. Like, you know,
of
you
course.
Got your list of them. Like, when you call a guy for just one of them, you're not really getting the same value. Typically, if you have a little list like that, it's not like an estimated thing. Like, you're getting an hourly rate. You know, like, it's the best value when you have, like, you know, 5 or 10 little things. Something that's going to keep the guy busy for, like, a whole hour. Like, don't call him because you need one kitchen cabinet hinge replaced. That's going to be – you're not going to get your bang for your buck. You know,
like,
you're going to be like, wow, that was stupid expensive. Well, get him for, like, 5 little things, you know. Put them together. Keep him busy for that time. Pretty soon that hourly rate begins to work for you. because then you're getting, you know, your drain unclogged, your right. light switch replaced, like they broke the panel, they kicked a hole in the drywall, you know. My door like needs help right now. Like,
don't call me to just put my vent was it? Back in.
Yeah,
place.
My vent cover just like fell out of the wall the other day.
Oh man.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, well, I'm gonna drive an hour to see you for me to just like we got that taken care of in 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Yeah. You're like, I was like, oh, okay, you have all the stuff I need right here. Done.
But again, I'm so bad at that. I probably could have done it myself, but I did not trust myself enough.
The experience of having done it before, there was actually some unique challenges in yours because of the way it was put together that it was like, well, I don't know if you would have figured this out without me here, but it's still here. It's just done in a really weird way.
Right. Yeah. And
that drop ceiling has a lot to do with it, though.
Yeah. But you're right. It's definitely, you don't want to just call for those little tiny jobs. You want to make sure that it's worth your time. And that's definitely, I would say it's probably goes hand in hand with the next question I was going to ask. It's what's a piece of advice you would give someone that's just starting out? And I would guess that knowing what your time is worth.
Exactly.
Is probably that piece of advice.
Drawing the line at things you can and cannot do. You know, there's a few things you're competent. I will do well in that. And then you may get talked into a few things that you're like, yeah, maybe I could do that well. Be upfront.
Right.
If you want me to try to do that, I will, but I can't guarantee that I'm going to do it well. That's not something I am skilled at. Everybody's going to have a list of things that they're great at, a list of things that they're not, you know, or they're pretty good at it, but just don't fake it. If you right. can't do it, let them know. Try something that, let them know up front that you're, yeah, I could set the tub, but I don't really know that I could set tile well.
Yeah.
It is a skilled thing, and there's a chemical process behind it. Just the whole procedure, it needs to be done well. You can't just slap it together with a bucket of what you got at Menards and
call it good.
Yeah,
no, that's totally understandable.
And some people will have luck with that, but that luck is only so lasting unless it's done right.
Right. Yeah, excellent. That's excellent advice for a lot of people, honestly, knowing what your time is worth. I know there's a couple other things that I wanted to cover before we ended this, but before we do that, of course, we have to...
It's time for Quick Twist.
That's right. It's the part of the show where we do a quick twist, where we quickly twist your arm into something that we have been doing recently or something that we think you should check out. So let's start with Zimmer here. What is what's your quick twist for the week?
Oh, well, I guess my quick twist I already succeeded in was twisting your arm into picking up Helldivers 2.
You did twist my arm into buying it. So how did you... to me, this game looks like Starship Troopers. I haven't played it yet. It's downloading we speak right now.
The Starship Troopers is a movie, though.
So, right.
Yeah, I mean, so it is. Half of it is. It's Starship Troopers on that side, Terminators on that side right now, and what else is out there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a galactic war that you and your friends get to play against the environment, whether it be bugs or it be... automatons over there or whatever. And so you and your four friends PvE experience get a drop in, and you get your special loadout of gear, and you call them in kind of like you would call kill streaks and Call of Duty or whatnot out. But you don't have to, that's equipment you get for dealing with whatever war zone you are in.
Yeah.
And you have different objectives to go in as you drop in, team of four like I was saying. And the excitement, the danger, the difficulty of it is definitely something we've been lacking in just overall video games. This is coming from a guy who's played a lot of indie early access, like always trying to keep up with what new studios are doing, and like really seeing the value in what a game is worth. I'm one of the stingiest guys. You've got to twist my arm for months to buying a game. Well, I twisted your arm in days. Like, my arm is sold. This game has been worth every penny I spend on it. That means a lot based on how I judge games.
And it's basically, it's a first-person shooter, or is it a third-person shooter?
It's a third-person experience.
So it's kind of like a Halo game? No, what's...
That would be their parody or whatever. They get a lot of crap about being too much like Halo.
Okay.
It's an extraction-based combat. You and your friends are there to complete a mission, do a couple side things while you're there, survive, and then extract and leave. And the community try to liberate planets to win the Galactic War, which is ongoing.
Okay.
Spread.
So this game is more of a multiplayer. Like, you want to have friends to play this game.
You can play a little bit on your own. The amount of enemies changes with the difficulty. It does not change with party size. So if you're by yourself, you're probably going to face four people's worth of enemy you choose on the battlefield.
Right.
And it's going to be much more difficult to operate without your friends. There is a vast matchmaking network in which you will get grouped with, you know, some randies.
The randos, yeah.
Yeah, your randies. And some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them are toxic. They're randies. They are what they are. Mm. Everyone is different. So... you can have friends that way, but if you've got a clear line of communication with you and your squad about what you're doing, like, sky's the limit. Right. Because once you get into the higher difficulties, like, other players are required. You cannot keep up with just the level, the amount, the quantity of bullshit that is coming at you.
So it's a challenging game, too. It's not like something that... And it's ongoing, right? It's not like... I feel like Destiny was a game like that where you'd team up with people and do these missions and stuff, but it had like a finite amount of missions you could do. Continuously generating new stuff? Kind of one of those games?
I mean, it's still young, so it's going to be interesting to see where direction they go with it. The developers are very, very involved with what's going on and very responsive to the community. To the point of comedy sometimes. One of them was just in the news about telling gamers he likes to watch them cry. Or he likes to hear them cry about making the difficulty too hard for him. And they're like, they released a patch that like nerfed a lot of stuff and everybody complained about how difficult the new enemies were. And he's like, your cheers bring me joy.
Yeah, that's the kind of game... you need, you know, like games are supposed to be challenging.
Yeah, well, they've been doing really good about keeping the directive up. The objective changes quite often. There's always a major order, which is your community goal to liberate planets in a direction or defend against invasion. So it's third person over the shoulder to finish where we were at there. But you can first person ADS, sights.
Okay, that's kind of nice. Yeah, it looks like made by Arrowhead Game Studios. It's for PS5 and Windows, so I would guess Xbox.
Yeah, it's on Steam
and all that stuff.
Crossplay is there.
These guys have made Magicka, The Showdown Effect, Gauntlet. I remember Gauntlet. It was an older game, 2014 for PS4. And then, of course, they did Helldivers 1. So this is the sequel.
You know, I feel bad and like a bandwagon kid because I haven't even checked out what Helldivers 1 was. I've never even heard of it.
I thought this was just one of those games where they put 2 behind it just for the hell of it.
You know, I'm you though. Like I'm the average guy right now. That what happened, what got me into this game. I didn't have anybody that drugged me into it. I'm really hard to drag into games.
Sure.
I saw the TikToks and the YouTube reels and the Facebook reels of just some of the crazy moments I had seen of it, and I was like, there's no way this game is actually this cool.
Right.
And I kept seeing more of them, and I was like, wow, that's actually the gameplay I'm witnessing, like, and it is that cool. And I got it and I was like, wow, yeah, this is every bit of what I thought was going on in here. Like, so my expectations were met.
Well, good. And like we were talking about, I did download it before we recorded today. You did twist my arm into buying it, so I did buy it.
I'll wrench it clean over.
I will have to come back later on and talk about my experience with it. I did that with a quick twist with Sam. He told me about a band called the Suicide Bombers out of, I want to say Switzerland or something like that. But really good band. I went and listened to them and they're amazing. So I have a little breakdown on that in a, upcoming episode as well. But yeah, thanks for that. If anybody does end up getting Helldivers, hit me up. I'll give you my screen name and we can get down. My quick twist for this week is a comedian. I've been watching a lot of this guy lately, and I ended up actually seeing him on his tour last night. His name is Dusty Slay. He's the guy that's he's always like, oh, yeah, we're having a good time. He's I feel like...
Long hair, bald
yeah,
cap.
Yeah, long hair, trucker cap, definitely raised in a trailer.
Didn't he have glasses?
Like, he does have glasses, yeah.
So, I don't know, for me, comedians are very a visual thing to me. I recognize them visually yes. more than...
And he seems like he's kind of awkward, you know, a little bit, especially like being on stage. But, dude, he is... I have not laughed that hard in a comedy show. I mean, in years. I frequent comedy shows. I really like comedy. But this guy, like, he slayed, not to be meta or whatever about that, but he was incredible. And it's great because we saw him on his first show of this new tour. So we saw him on March 22nd, and he's touring the entire U.S. right now. I don't know when this episode is airing. I think sometime in April. So if you like comedy and you like Dusty Slay, go check out his website because he is touring through the country right now, and it's a huge tour. So he's going all over the place. He's also touring with a little opener. His opener, her name is Georgia, and she's from Colorado. And I had seen her years ago on some like local stand-up stage in Colorado, and she is hilarious. Really funny gal. She's actually from Omaha, and this was the first stop on the tour, and so she had some pretty fun stories about living in Omaha and stuff. But if you're a fan of comedy and you like going out, they're cheap tickets, and it's a great time. So go check out Dusty Slay on the, what is it? What did he call it? What's this tour called? I can't remember. The, oh my God, why doesn't it say it? It's like the late night tour, something like that. The after work tour. God, make sure to go check it out. I know he's coming to a town near you. That's all I got for the quick twist today. I want to thank you again, Zimmer, for coming and hanging out.
Yeah, no problem.
Talking about your stuff. Why don't you tell us where people can find you and how they can maybe get in touch with you for services around here in Nebraska? Obviously, people in Germany that are listening probably can't call you for that sort of thing. This is more of just a discussion for them to listen to.
I mean, we can talk about travel pay for that one, but my business isn't valid outside of the state of Nebraska right now, so I'm I could be your guy. But
we did have good info. I mean, we did talk about like finding the right contractor and finding the right person and what you're looking for and the kind of person that you want to have work on your own personal properties. So,
yeah.
If anything, I know, like I said, people out of state probably aren't going to hit you up, but it is good that they're getting this nice piece of advice from someone that's in that business. But for people that are local, how would they get in touch with you, or how could they find you on socials?
I am on Facebook. We'll probably have to post a link to it or something with this video because like the address on that's so convoluted now. But you'll find us under My Guy Home Improvement Services. Probably recognize the logo when you see it. But you can also contact us by email at myguy.nebraska@gmail.com. So you can always contact us by email there.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks again for stopping on by and talking about this stuff. It's not the most common thing to talk about, but it is definitely something that a lot of people nowadays, especially our age, that don't know how to use their hands. People need help with that stuff, and it's tough.
It's definitely something to know when you need help, you know, like if it's a problem, if you think it's a problem, it probably is a problem.
Yeah. Totally. All right. Thank you guys all so much for checking out this week's episode of the Twist My Arm podcast. I always have a good time hanging out with Brian Zimmer, and talking shop and talking other things too. I will let you know that I did buy Helldivers and I've been playing the shit out of it. It's been a wonderful game. So anyone that wants to, you know, bring freedom and democracy to the worlds of that game, hit me up. I'm always down to play. Next week, I'm going to have actor, model, most likely dancer, Canadian treasure. His name is David Jones. He's coming on to talk about some of the projects he's been in and maybe give a little insight on the projects he's got coming up. It was a great conversation, and it's definitely one that you won't want to miss. So thank you all again for checking out this week's episode of Twist My Arm. Make sure to follow us on all those social media links, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. All those links are in the show notes. So be sure to click on those, give us a follow, and leave us a comment if you feel so inclined. Thank you all again. I will talk at you next week.